The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Time for another edition of Need to Know, everything you need to know. Kip Kiefer with you here on Tony Curry Radio, ready to crank up another edition. Hope you're all having a very good summer, and I always appreciate you carving out a little bit of time to hear my thoughts that I like to present in hopes that maybe something will be said or an idea conveyed that you hadn't considered, because again, this is not a program to tell you what to think. This is a program designed to hopefully give you things to help you think and apply common sense and make decisions. Don't get caught in the trap of just accepting the narrative. Make your own thoughts, form your own opinions. That's the best way to go about things. And that's what this show's about today. Because I had an interesting experience in the last week or so. I was one of many in a group tweet sent out by allegedly a young man in Kennesaw, Georgia, 21 years old, who said that he had developed a great interest in politics. And he was reaching out to others that he knew were political experts and commentators and analysts, etc. And it was nice of him to include me on that list. How he got me into that realm, I have no idea. But anyway, I was happy to respond because he was asking for people that he was contacting here to retweet his solicitation of our acknowledgement of his political interests, and also give our opinions on things that are happening now. He departed from me ideologically a little bit with the motivation for his getting into politics. And this is what I wanted to talk about here on the show, because I think it's kind of a fascinating subject. Now, this is a Gen Zer, 21 years old, just, starting out things and making forming his own opinions and getting his ideas. But what bothers me is some of the things that he said that motivated his political interest. And the first one he highlighted was, I got interested my senior year in high school when Trump was elected. And he said, and with all of his lies and how much he's a threat to democracy, I got absorbed in that whole story. Well, that's an interesting way to put things, of course. And I don't want to, again, I've made this point before. I am not a Trump lover, as I've been accused of being. I did admire Trump's tenacity and ability to stand up to a complete ridiculous 4 years of abuse from so many different corners, mainstream media predominantly, but all of the people working behind the scenes in the swamp that is our Washington, D.C. government, because they are so resistant to any outsider coming in and potentially shaking up the best growth industry on earth, and that is the federal government. They did it to Jimmy Carter back in 1976. They chewed him up and spit him out, and he was sensitive to the criticism. And it made him totally ineffective as the president. Trump's the thing to admire is that he stood up against it all, never backed down, could not be intimidated, could not be ridiculed. He just rolled on because that's who Donald Trump is. He's arrogant. He's brash. He's outspoken. And he's always ready, not necessarily to pick a fight, but if you start something with him, he's ready to throw down. And, in my opinion, at this time in history, it was important to have somebody outside the political club to step into the leadership role in the country. And I think I would argue that from a policy standpoint and things his administration accomplished in those 4 years, he had the country going remarkably well economically and security and the military strength. A lot of the different things that were plagued with today, because the whole philosophy of his replacement, Joe Biden, was to come in. And again, this is not Joe Biden's doing. Joe Biden is not making decisions. Joe Biden is a figurehead who can barely get on and off a stage, and sometimes doesn't even manage to do that. The bottom line is they junked everything that Trump had in place, including all of the policies that were working extremely well. But this whole narrative that Trump lies and is threatening to the democracy, those are the absolute words of that whole side of the ideological aisle that has stamped him with those labels. And to hear the young man use those descriptions tells me that he's been pretty much indoctrinated by this constant fusillade of information and disinformation. Trump has a lot of flaws, and Trump made a lot of mistakes. And I don't like Chris Christie, who's running for president right now from New Jersey, the former governor. But Chris Christie actually does point out some really bad shortcomings in the Trump presidency, where he brashly predicted he would get the wall built and Mexico would pay for it. Well, that didn't turn out to work out. It took a lot of years to get enough financing to even get the bit of the wall built that Trump did achieve. And Mexico never paid a single dollar, as Christie points out. So all of that was a bunch of bluster. And that's the best word for Trump. Trump is bluster. Trump is a guy that is going to say what he thinks, and he's going to make claims and make promises and make declarations that may not necessarily come to pass. He's committed and believes it when he's saying it. So to say that's a lie, I think really is something that is a creation of the people that can't stand him and think that he is a threat to their livelihood, not to democracy. So those labels, I think, are really now have been so oft repeated, and the repetition is one of the major weapons of this movement. Say it enough times, and it becomes part of the discourse. We talked about last week on the show the travel ban, which was not a travel ban. It was a moratorium on travel until they could get more secure ways to see who's coming in and out of the country from the worst international actors countries in the world. But the media called it a travel ban so much that that just became the terminology that it's forever known for now. I even heard Trump once referred to as my travel ban years after that situation. So if it's said enough, that's one of the devices that they use, is repetition to make things just become kind of the public discourse. Anyway, moving on from that. So I always highlight the Joe Biden campaign speech at the Iowa State Fair, running for president in 2020, when he declared, "We believe in truth, not facts." And I always remind you that the very definition of truth is irrefutable facts. So you can't have truth without facts. You can't believe in truth and not facts. That's absolutely nonsense. But the reason that they accuse Trump of being a, quote, liar is because he refutes their facts, that he refutes their truth with facts, which they absolutely can't stand. Because if they've decided that this is how it needs to be, and this is the narrative of the progressive movement, the woke movement, whatever you want to call it, that's the truth. That's their truth. That doesn't make it the truth. It's their truth. It's their narrative. And if anybody interrupts that or questions it, they're a liar. They're a threat to democracy. When the real threat, the real liars and the real threats to democracy are the bad actors that are cooking up all of this nonsense and creating their truth that is not the truth. And I've got some good examples for you. You want to stamp Trump as a liar? What about the liars that are currently in power that have been caught lying repeatedly? And we can start right away with our boy, the president of the United States, Joe Biden. Joe Biden says, and has said it numerous times, he has never, ever had a discussion with his son, Hunter Biden, about his international business dealings. Now, isn't that interesting? I'm a dad. I have two sons. I talk to my sons about their work and what they do. I think if they had a bunch of international dealings going on, I would be in the loop, particularly if my job was vice president at the time. And international dealings probably are right in my kitchen in terms of protecting my interests and the interests of the country that he is sworn to serve. But he never, ever, according to Joe Biden, had a single discussion. Well, you know, there's guys that really have already come forward. A lot of Hunter's, quote, business partners have come forward with evidence on recordings from phone messages with a lot of information from their computers, correspondence and whatnot, where there's constant references to Uncle Joe, the president of the United States, then vice president, and before that, senator for many, many years from Delaware. Joe Biden irrefutably has been involved in the Biden family business for a number of years. And you always hear about Hunter Biden because it's hard not to be hearing about him, a crack addict that was kicked out of the Navy, a board member of a major Ukrainian energy company, although he had no expertise in Ukraine or energy and had no background in it whatsoever. But yet he was drawing a salary of $87,000 a month to sit on the board of the Burisma company in Ukraine. When Joe Biden just happened to be designated by the president, Barack Obama, as in charge of all Ukrainian affairs. So that was a nice coincidence. But I'm sure Joe had no knowledge that Hunter was serving on the board of Burisma while he was overseeing everything happening in Ukraine for the United States. If that's not bad enough, Hunter Biden's own laptop, of course, is the ultimate fact wielding machine, because once that was never picked up from the repair shop and fell into the hands of the New York Post, they started publishing excerpts and different contents from that laptop. And of course, Twitter, encouraged by the FBI, just took away the New York Post site. They had been posting links to stories and things since day one of Twitter. All of a sudden, you can't use that information, so we're just banning you from our platform. That's censorship, folks. That's suppression. That's dishonest. That's an administration getting involved where they don't belong, intruding on First Amendment rights. But again, the lying label for Trump is because the truth that they tell, which is a version of their agenda and the narrative that supports that agenda, is what they don't want assaulted. And anybody who has anything to say is lying and is threatening democracy when, amazingly, they're the threat to democracy with all the chicanery and shenanigans that they routinely employ. So with all that being said, Major lying there is happening, especially now, because you've got a situation where all of this Biden crime, and I was going to mention Biden's brother, James, who's probably one of the main chefs stirring this nefarious stew. James Biden has been involved in all kinds of global activity at the behest and the interference and connections of his politician brother. So the Biden family has created quite an impressive situation where they all shrug and say, you know, nothing to see here. Well, that's a blatant lie. So if there's any liars in the situation, it's these people. And at the same time, they're defended vehemently by all these different branches of government. We've just had the cocaine scandal in the White House where the Secret Service says, we can't figure out whose it is. Really? That's interesting. So the Secret Service, you've got the FBI, who's gotten involved with those social media and information platform companies and really censored and suppressed information. And you've got the Department of Justice, who may be the biggest mess of all, because Biden's choice for DOJ head and attorney general is Merrick Garland, who, of course, was nominated by Barack Obama after the unfortunate death of Anton Scalia at the last year of his term. And with a presidential election coming up just a couple of months from that time, the Senate, run by Republicans at the time, chose not to hold confirmation hearings for Obama's nominee because there was going to be a new president in October. And traditionally in our country, a Supreme Court justice is nominated by the incoming president, not one on his way out the door. So it was not a big breach of ethics or even righteousness that Garland never got his day of confirmation in the Senate, because they just slow walked it until the next election, not knowing who was going to be president. It was going to be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. It ended up being Donald Trump, who was able to appoint his own nominee at that time, which was Neil Gorsuch. But Garland certainly had a chip on his shoulder, even though Trump had nothing to do with the fact that Mitch McConnell and the Senate would not hear his case to be confirmed. Donald Trump, of course, is the scapegoat because he's elected president, immediately tossed Garland out with the bathwater and instituted his own appointment. So Garland certainly is not an objective guy to be put in the seat of attorney general, the leading law enforcement officer in the country. And he's kind of a weasel anyway. He's wishy-washy. If you listen to him speak, he kind of double talks. Not a real impressive guy from a standpoint of his record or his judicial record. Really nothing spectacular about Merrick Garland. Now he is saying that the attorney of the District of Delaware, Weiss, had full authority to bring charges against Hunter Biden at any time he wanted to bring them, since he was a tab to investigate that case, and he had full authority to do so. But at the same time, Weiss told a group of six individuals, two of them senior IRS management supervisory people were in on that, and they both have come forward now to refute the claim that Garland has made that Weiss had full authority to prosecute Hunter Biden. Weiss told them in a meeting, and not only those two whistleblowers, but they have affidavits from the other four people that were in the meeting, who are various other officials, that Weiss told them that he did not have that authority. He had to ask permission in the districts of Washington and California from the sitting attorneys in charge in those districts, because that's where the crimes were allegedly committed that Hunter Biden is accused of, influence peddling, being a foreign agent that's not registered, and collecting basically millions and millions of dollars that the Biden family, and they've got the bank records now, and they're going to come to light more and more, set up over 20 shell companies, which just means it's a bank where funds can be sent that are not easily traced because they're spread all over the place. And gradually those funds are withdrawn and put into Biden family bank accounts. Nine different Bidens have received millions of dollars in deposits from these shell companies. And for what? What are they selling? What product or service is the Biden family providing for places like Ukraine and Russia and communist China and other countries like Romania? There's a whole list of them. So basically, all this is developing. It's hard to refute what's going on there. This is some bad stuff, folks. And the claim that all the Bidens make that they are not involved in any illegal activity, when it's all coming to light, and back to the Department of Justice. So Garland says that Weiss had full authority to move forward. Weiss told these whistleblowers and IRS agents that he did not have that authority because he had requested the ability to prosecute in Washington and California and was denied. And now you've got the whistleblowers, too, who have come forward because these guys are lifelong IRS employees. The IRS has been corrupted as well, but there are some people in there that believe their mission is to equally apply the law to all citizens. And I'm pretty convinced after listening to these guys, they don't have anything to gain by this. All they really are putting on the line is the probable destruction of their careers. So who's the least likely liar in this group? Is it Merrick Garland? Is it James Weiss? Or is it one of the IRS senior officials who are saying that Garland is not telling the truth? I would certainly eliminate them. They're not politically motivated. They're not being coerced or you know, given that opportunity to come forward and right this wrong that is keeping them up at night, knowing that our government's corrupt and needs to be fixed. So somebody's lying here. I mean, there's no debate about that. Either Weiss or Garland or the IRS whistleblowers are lying. And I would eliminate, if I was handicapping this field, I would say the IRS guys are the least likely because they have nothing to gain. And what Weiss is doing is playing this silly game now where, you know, he's kind of, well, you know, I had full authority, but I didn't, you know, he's kind of sloughing it off that, you know, he had full authority, but he didn't really have full authority. And Garland is just steadfast that this guy could have brought a case at any time he wanted. Of some of the most severe violations were ducking out on hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax liability in 2014 and 2015 for Hunter Biden. But the statute of limitations has passed on both of those cases now because the investigation has been going on for 5 or 6 years. They slow walk this, and that's what they do on everything in government and in Washington and in congressional hearings and oversight. It's all made a big deal, but it's done at such a glacial pace that eventually it just all kind of fades away. Let's talk about other liars. Let's talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci, if he was Pinocchio, his nose would stretch from Brooklyn, New York, all the way out to the San Francisco Bay. Fauci got caught big time in the explosion that became the COVID situation because Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Health, was handing over grants to Echo Health, which is a Bill Gates global health concern, whatever you want to call it, think tank, activist center, whatever it was. But one of the big projects for Echo Health getting funding from Anthony Fauci was funding this gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab in China, which was supposedly trying to create variations of aviary disease, coronaviruses. There's another term for it, of course, by introducing man-made elements to these to make them more contagious and more serious under the express reasoning that that would allow them to preemptively develop vaccines. So if this ever happened in nature, that they would be prepared. Well, the chances of that happening in nature putting these compounds into an existing virus, pretty darn minuscule and pretty risky when you consider what could happen if that ever got out of that laboratory, which it did. Now, whether that was intentional or not, we don't know. It certainly seems like the timing was highly convenient. But Fauci immediately started emailing cohorts that knew what had happened and was telling them, we cannot let this get out, that, you know, we were funding this stuff, and we need to really stick with and find reasons to sell the BS that this was a natural phenomenon that emanated from bats that were somehow transferred to humans. It's just a crazy story. It's an outright lie to cover his very considerable backside in terms of his dishonesty and his corruption. Fauci was the highest paid federal employee in our government and had all kinds of side stuff. All of these grants and whatnot, they don't come out of the goodness of the hearts of these people making the decision. If you don't think there's kickbacks personally for people that are in those decision-making positions, you're just, I'm sadly to say, naive. Anyway, Fauci lied from day one and continues to lie about the origins of this disease, because he knows that will get back and look bad on him, that he, arguably he could go down in history as another version, not the cruel, sadistic way that Adolf Hitler is remembered, but Anthony Fauci, through his actions, arguably could be traced back as one of the origin guys that wound up killing millions of people around the world. So, yeah, he's got a lot of skin in the game, to say the least. But talk about liars. Again, there are plenty of them in the current government and in the current spotlight that lie routinely about everything. But nobody calls them on their lies and prevarications because they are towing the line of the ideological progressive movement. And they are controlled and supported by mainstream media, who is basically the State Information Bureau, like TASS back in the Russian days and the other state-run medias in communist China, North Korea, and other places with Marxist approaches, which is what these people's grand vision for the country is. And we don't even need to mention Kamala Harris. I don't accuse her of lying. Did you hear what she said last week? Kamala Harris said, well, we dream of living in a society where we have responsible emission controls and carbon reduction and less reduced population. Now, you know, we've done a show on that on this program before, talking about the dream of these people is the planet can be saved if there's less consumers. If there's less people, the planet will flourish. So there was one movement I told you about that was in favor of the human race just allowing itself to die out for the good of the planet. Well, you know, I'm happy for salamanders and leeches and fleas and ticks and all those great creatures that will benefit from a humanless planet. But I'm not so sure that's really a great solution of killing off all human inhabitants so the planet can go on for another 4.5 billion years, because all of the climate change nonsense is the biggest lie that's being told to the American public, that it is the number one existential threat, et cetera, et cetera. This planet has evolved for 4.5 billion years. If there's a warming trend, you're going to have to convince me, and nobody ever presents compelling evidence, that 140 years of the Industrial Revolution is responsible for these massive changes that are happening in the planet. And all of these suggestions that this is the hottest the planet's ever been are nonsense, because there are numerous computer projections that back in the prehistoric days and, you know, centuries ago, that the environment was much hotter than it is now. So a lot of this is just contrived. It's devices to try to gain control of government, to scare people into submission, and to impose total control of the individual liberties that are the hallmark and the pillars of this country. And if you don't believe that, I feel for you. If you're buying the narratives that they're just selling you routinely and adopting the opinions that Trump is a liar, Trump is an embellisher, Trump is full of bluster, Trump is full of something else, and guilty of extreme arrogance. But Trump did not lie in trying to sell his systems. Trump succeeded in terms of policy, had this country going strong economically, militarily, and security-wise. So the whole thing needs to be understood. Trump lying comes down to the fact that Trump was the biggest thorn in their side in what they're trying to sell. And you remember, they tell their truth, and Trump was disputing it, which makes him a liar and a threat to our democracy, which really means a threat to what they are trying to pawn off on you and me, the American people. That's Need to Know for this week. I hope we had some nuggets of information in there that were helpful. I always enjoy visiting with you here on Tony Curry Radio. Catch Kiefer and Curry every week right here on TKR. We'll have some compelling subjects again this week. So look forward to joining you again then with Tony. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.